the hill is never as hungry as the wolf climbing the hill.
Lone wolf is a term commonly used by many people. It means that they used to belong to a group, but left to become stronger. By thinking and acting alone, the lone wolf acquires superior cunning, agility, imagination, and skills unknown to members of the pack. The lone wolf is independent of and distances itself from the petty bickerings, expectations, demands, mediocrities, and unfulfilled dreams of other people, groups, or organizations. The lone wolf is often branded as the rebel.
For it is the sovereign lone wolf who stands alone in all of his or her glory.
It's War Radio, White Aryan Resistance Radio at resist.com on the web, and our email address is warmetzger@aol.com. And if you'd like to receive our updates that we send out every couple of days on the internet, just go to warmetzger@aol.com and say subscribe, and you'll be getting the inside scoop on what's going on, babe. we're at P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. Still in the bunker here. Yeah, with those dirty little feet of all those little wetback latrinos going overhead, we have to stay down here in the dark catacombs to escape the rush from the border. We see that there's a bunch of guys down, a bunch of conservatives down there. They're going to stop it at the border. Well, I did hear that their presence down there, according to what I understand, has slackened it off, at least in that sector, the invasion. I thought the Constitution guaranteed us protection from invasion. And they didn't say they had to have guns. They just said protection from invasion. Well, obviously, the President and all those little convoys, those transnational corporation puppets up there, they don't care. They just want profits and easy money, cheap labor, and that's all that is, man. Until one of these days, the blood will flow. I've been sitting on the edge of my chair waiting for the new papa to be elected, man. And my money's on the black guy. Yeah, the black guy from where? Guinea or someplace? Yeah, they got a lot of Catholics down there, you know. And so, but it's not going to be, for a few days yet. But I'm right on the edge of my seat waiting to find out and see if the Catholic Church is going to commit suicide by putting a black pope in. Well, I think what they'll probably do is put this guy in from, Uruguay, this Latrino, sort of halfway between the black guys and the white guys. We'll see. I heard today they said that they thought the Pope had performed a miracle during his reign, that some kid with leukemia, he had kissed him on the head and he lost all his leukemia. This is 2005, boys. Come on, get down out of the tree. Well, I see President Bush, he's all excited now. He wants to do something about the infrastructure of this country. Wait a minute. Duh. All the money that should have gone for the infrastructure of this country is going for the infrastructure of Iraq and Afghanistan and other places around the world. Where is he going to get the money? Well, they always get the money. They borrow the money. There is no money anymore. They just borrow more money. Just borrow money. But it's gotten to the place where I don't think they're going to be able even to borrow more money. Because all these other countries, China, good old red China, don't we love them? Those people, they're holding about, $3 trillion. Dollars in the central bank. And Venezuela now is putting in some long-range rockets. I don't know what that's all about. Maybe we're going to get a little rocket coming in here to San Diego one of these days. How about that? I'm glad I'm down here in the bunker. Well, you know, the other day there was a fracas up in the high desert or up there in Riverside County. Maybe it's Imperial County. No, Riverside County, I guess. And at a baseball game, this kid, the game was over, and one kid said something to another kid, the other kid said something back, and the other kid hit him over the head and smashed his brains, and then he's dead. Well, I heard all about this all over the news, but finally today, with an obscure talk show guy out of L.A. That's only on Sunday, happened to bell the cat. Guess what? The white kid that got his brains beaten in, it was white. And the guy, the brainer, was a Negroid. Yeah, a nigga did it. So they, how about that? You know, if a white kid would bash the brains in of a black kid, it'd be international news. International news. But a white kid getting his brains beat in by a black guy? No, we don't want to talk about that. No, not even the LA Times didn't want to talk about that. And then you wonder why we're racist? Oh boy, we're getting more racist all the time. I don't know how much more racist I could get. Well, I hear Brother Duke's going to have another big powwow down there in New Orleans to get this thing straight. That's what we need, to get things straight. And he's bringing them in from all over the place again. I don't know where these people get the money to travel all across the country and pay airfares and everything, and the gasoline's so high, but they sure, and they don't have a lot of money to give to guys who are actually doing some program, but they sure got money to travel around to these big confabs where the ultimate Mr. Dukester gets up there, people like him, and say, well, we got problems. Well, we got problems? We know we got problems. I don't have to travel to New Orleans to get that. Well, what's the answer to the problem? Oh, well, we're going to get some people, and we're going to run for office, and then we'll get into office, and then we'll get some power, and then we'll show them, oh, yeah, come on, baby, get real. Well, a long-time activist, Wolfgang Droege, was murdered here a few days ago, and I knew Droege. I met him several times. He was involved in that Dominican affair where they were going to overthrow the nation of Dominica with a combination of a Jewish investor, gambler from Canada, and then there was some good old boys from down south. And the guy who was leading the group was a homo that claimed he was a big military man, but got kicked out after 2 weeks of being in the military for his sexual preferences. And then they were going to team up with the Rastafarians down there, and they were going to create a new nation down there with a Swazi flag on it in Dominica. But one thing they forgot about, and I've told you about this before, they didn't know that Dominica is one of the biggest sources of fresh water in the Caribbean. It's very important. And also, Dominica is a transfer point, or has been a transfer point, for the arms traders around the world. And the way they do that, they say they're going to ship a jet plane, a fighter, to Dominica. They need those planes down there. They don't even have enough room for a runway to turn one of them around, I don't think. But anyhow, that's what they do. And on paper, these arms are going to Dominica. Well, these boys didn't know that. Poor Droege and all these guys, and David Duke, I know he was in there somewhere, and his good buddy Don Black. They didn't know these things. And then when they went out to hire a boat to take them on the invasion, and the guy says, sure, I'll do that. And so they come down there a couple of days later, I guess, with all their guns and everything. We're going to invade Dominica, and surprise, surprise, there was nothing but federal men around there. Well, the guy they rented the boat off of, or whatever you call it, he was a Coast Guard auxiliary. Boy. Anyhow, Droege was Canada. He did a lot of right-wing work up there, and he did some good work, and he did some bad work, and I knew him, and he was a likable guy, but evidently, he was blown away in some kind of a three-way deal with some chick over some chickadee, and that's a bad way to go. That's a bad way to go. Well, he was a likable guy, and it's too bad he got killed. But old Wolfgang was not a perfect individual, but we won't go into that. I was supposed to go with him and a bunch of other people over to, let's see here, what's his name? To Libya, yeah, to see Mr. Gaddafi. That was way back in about 85. And they asked me if I wanted to go, and I said, sure, I want to go see that old boy and see what's going on over there, you know. And but I had a legal problem in L.A. I was going to court on that L.A. cross burning years ago, another fiasco, but so I couldn't go. So I didn't get to go see Colonel Gaddafi. But Mr. Drogi did, and, you know, that was the trip that one of the reporters got murdered on that trip. He got pushed off the top of a building. And it was a strange combination of people. It was right-wing racists and nationalists, and it was then a whole bunch of black nationalists. And they sort of sit at different parts of the bus and the airplane going over, But I guess Mr. Gaddafi showed them all over the place, separately, of course, and they had a good time. Well, I don't know whether I mentioned it, but a lot of people were counting on this Alaskan oil. Yeah, they were counting on getting that Alaskan oil, and then, of course, the environmentalists wanted to keep it in the ground. It turned out maybe they're more correct, the environmentalists, because the United States is not going to get any of that oil. It's going to Japan and China, mostly China, if they open up that oil. There was supposed to be legislation that kept that oil in the country, but forget it. Plus, it's only supposedly going to supply about 5%. Of course, 5% is a lot in some ways when it comes down to oil. And we haven't even begun to see this oil thing go yet. And it's still going to be, you know, the way they do it, they go up a ways and then they come down, but they never come down as far as it was, you know. And so it just keeps gradually going up. And like I said, I predicted about 10, 12 years this whole thing's going to come full circle, and bam-o, boy, this is going to be, Katie, bar the door shut, there's a man under the bed as far as this oil thing is concerned. Oh, boy, you know, I cut down my driving, and I bought another little teeny-weeny-weeny car at an auction that gets me lots of good mileage, and so next thing's a bicycle, and beyond that, I'm going into the burro and the mule business one of these days. You don't have to worry about them smogging them, man. All they do is fart. Well, I got some hot news right off the press. Yeah, guess what? The National Alliance leader, Eric Glebe, just got married. How about that? And I understand she's a real looker. And, you know, whenever one of our friends gets married or something, or gets a girlfriend, then all these goody-two-shoes in the right wing start saying he's immoral. What's that all about, man? I understand she did do some work for Playboy. And that's great, man. And when he told me, I said, whoopee, man. All these guys out there saying anything negative, that's jealous. You know, when I heard Pastor Richard Butler was accused of flying across the country with a porn star, I said, damn! He's a good old boy. I even told him that when I went up to see him before he died. He used to get a big kick out of my type of humor, and he knew it wasn't malicious, but we had a good time. Hell yes, marry a gal that's a model for Playboy. Woo-wee. Now he'll take most of his time to beat off the guys trying to get a hold of her. I'll tell you, that's the way that goes. They got a little problem. The old dukester is up to his old stuff again, trying to divide and conquer. Man, he's got the same modus operandi every time, and he's trying to move in on the National Alliance and like that. And, that's the way it goes. He's a sneaky guy. You gotta watch out for that boy. Well, I did a couple of interviews here in the last couple of days, I'll tell you what. Maybe I'll put them on here. What do you think of that? Here we go. You don't have much choice. You're going to listen or turn it off. Oh, I forgot to mention the first one was, I believe, the Boston Globe. And the second one is National Education Radio. Yeah, PBS.
Tell me your name and what organization you're with.
I'm Tom Metzger. I operate the White Aryan Resistance, which is a voluntary association of people all around the country and in some other foreign countries too, and it's not a membership organization, and we are not the type that have big rallies or meetings and things like that. We operate more covertly than most, and we've been in business since about 1983.
What do you mean by that?
Ted, I'm hearing a little bit of static there. Are you there still?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I hear a little echo.
Oh, yeah. Are you talking right into your phone?
I can get closer.
I'll get right in there. Okay, baby.
Okay.
How's that?
Uh-huh. Okay, that's good.
Okay.
Ooh. Well, now, do you agree that there has been more, white supremacist activity in the Inland Empire in recent years?
Well, I refer to ourselves as racial separatists. I never refer to ourselves as white supremacists, but Well, obviously, people have moved out in droves from Los Angeles and first to Orange County, trying to escape. They always say crime, but of course, when they're talking about crime, they know that a majority of that crime is non-white crime, and they just get settled down in Orange County, and here it comes again. So then they're moving farther and farther out, and having to drive farther and farther to the big city, and they have the same problem. So I would imagine that people would be getting more irritated about this as time goes on.
More irritated about what? I mean, you say they're...
About non-white crime, which we know that there's a disproportionate amount of non-white crime, black, Latino, whatever you want to call them, and everybody wants to put that under the rug, and if a white, a racist like myself would happen to do something, well, that would be international news. But when this massive amount of non-white crime is taking place, the news don't want to talk about it too much.
Well, now, what's the connection between that and what's been going on in the Inland Empire?
Well, it's just this morning. It's obvious one thing that happened that makes people angry is a young white boy playing on a baseball team was approached by a young black boy at the end of the game, and the black boy beat his brains in and killed him. And the interesting thing is, if it had been reversed and a white kid had killed a black kid, we'd hear it for weeks. But since it was a white kid, the LA Times, nobody else wants to talk about it. So there's definitely a racial element to the press, but the racial element is geared against whites. And so that makes people angry.
Well, I guess I'm trying to put together these two things. Now, you're saying that a lot of people first moved to Orange County. I guess you're saying what they were trying to escape was people of color, black people, and
well,
you know.
They use code words. You know, white people have learned to use code words now because it's not PC to say it the way it is, like I do. So they'll always say, I wanted to escape the crime, you know. But then when you say, well, who's committing the lion's share of the crime? Well, they shuffle their feet around, and for behind closed doors, they'll say, well, the non-whites, of course. But if they were to be interviewed by you, they'd say, oh, no, we're not racist. We're just, it's just crime.
So they've come to the Inland Empire, and what it looks like has been going on lately is that, for example, the story that I was looking at was that there was a black kid at Murrieta Valley High, and he was beat up for no reason by a bunch of white kids.
That was a long time ago. Well, you sure that what that happens, I imagine, but there's no comparison to the amount of white kids that are attacked and brutalized by blacks and Mexicans and so forth. I mean, if they promoted that crime as much as they do white kids jumping a black kid, it'd be all over the news every night. But you and the press concentrate on white on black crime. I remember that case. It was a big party over there in, I believe, the Temecula area, and the black kid showed up, and some white kids chased him. They had problems with this guy. This guy was a rapist, and he's an unindicted rapist, and I've got all the information on that guy, that black guy. Anyhow, somebody cut his back or something, but anyhow, these guys got much longer sentences than if a black guy had attacked a white guy.
Yeah, actually, I was talking about a different case.
Oh, a different case?
Yeah, well, this was just somebody who was beaten up at a high school.
Well, when you say beaten up, did some guy just get punched in the nose, or did they put him in the hospital?
Well, they didn't put him in the hospital. But
I went to school. I used to get my nose punched every once in a while. I never even complained. I mean, I just got even.
Well, let me get a little bit away from that and
sure.
Just ask you, because you said that. So what are people seeing once they get to the Inland Empire, like these people that are coming to flee first to Orange County.
Well, it's both economics and race. I mean, it's not all race, that's for sure. It's people are trying to move farther and farther out to buy a cheaper house and try to maintain a living. And because of the rising costs in California, it's becoming almost impossible to keep up with the money that it costs you to live in this state. In other words, how long can you just say, well, I like the weather. The weather's costing me too much. I think I'll move out of the state myself. But that, but even then, they're irritated about a lot of things, and the racial thing is just one of the things. I've always said economics creates more racists than anything else.
Well, how's that? What do you mean?
Well, when there's, you watch several dogs fighting over a bone, you'll see, and as we bring in more and more illegal aliens, we got millions in here now, maybe 15 million, 20 million, and then you got the black population, then you're bringing them in from India and everywhere else, they're all fighting over disappearing jobs that our wonderful capitalistic corporations are shipping out of the country to China and so forth.
So what would you like to see happen?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The border would be sealed immediately. That would, and then we would deport all of these illegal aliens and even green carders that have only been around a few years. And then we'd start reporting just who is committing the most crime in the Inland Empire or any place else in the country. Let's get it all out on the table. And I want to see black leaders apologize for the bestiality of many blacks in the black community that do horrible crimes to whites, but you never hear them apologizing to the white community. And if they don't apologize to the white community, then I say they get what they deserve.
What do you mean they get what they deserve?
Well, I believe if I was a father, I mean, I am a father, but I mean of young kids, and someone killed my kid or raped my daughter or something like that, I'd hunt him down and kill him myself. I wouldn't even call the cops. And you could call that irresponsible, but I think it's very responsible.
Now, what is it that your organization is doing?
Well, our association is doing is primarily education and intelligence works and becoming involved in various areas of society to where we know what...
Hold on there. You know what? I'm getting a lot of feedback for some reason.
I noticed.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat what you were saying there?
Let's see now. I almost forgot what I was saying. where were we anyhow? Hello?
Whoops, I'm sorry, I had the microphone down for a second. Are you okay?
Where were we anyhow? I've lost my train of thought there.
Okay. Well, I was asking you what your organization does.
Oh, well, it's not an organization. That's not a membership organization. No, there's no membership cards or anything. We encourage our people from all areas of society, which you'd be quite shocked if you realized the various areas they come from, to burrow in, become like almost spies within the general community, and not to reveal their feelings or anything, but to provide us with information that can help us pinpoint problems and also look to the future and what will be done about it. And so we operate much differently than the average even racial organization. We encourage people to, the young kids to get a good education. Don't go around yelling about your beliefs. Just burrow in and supply us with information.
And what do you do with the information?
Well, we either use it to disseminate through the internet, through phone machines, through many other ways, and possibly in the future, if there ever becomes a resistance struggle in this country, militarily.
What do you mean a resistance struggle?
You ever heard of the founding fathers of this country?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they rose up and threw them out. And I think it's long past the time when we should have rose up and threw them out. But it's not, the conditions are not ripe yet.
Yeah, throw who out?
The people up there in La Cesspool Grande, Washington, D.C., and their handlers, the transnational corporations, and these imperialist money people that are getting our people killed over there in Iraq in a stupid war.
So what does that have to do with race?
It has to do with race. When any time that lots of young, virile white people are dying for transnational corporations, that's our business. We would encourage the revolutionary groups in any country to rise up and drive those big transnational corporations out. Burn them out. Then they'll have to come back here and hire Americans, even non-white Americans.
Now, what's the relationship of your organization to, say, these white power concerts that you see going on in the Inland Empire?
Well, I have gone to a few of these. I don't go to them too much. It's mostly they just have a good time and play racist music, and everybody gets together and have fun. That's what most of them are.
And what's the point of them?
Well, every group, every cultural group, does things like this. I mean, we've got the La Raza group for the race, and all those people get together and have their celebrations, and white people get together. They may be a big bluegrass deal, or they may be a skinhead deal, but we celebrate our whiteness just like anybody else would celebrate their color.
And when people at these concerts celebrate their whiteness, first of all, what are they celebrating? And second, are they... is it just a celebration, or is it directed towards recruiting people to join the movement, or towards carrying out any kind of activity?
Well, as far as celebrating whiteness, I don't see why that would be hard to understand. Yeah, I doubt whether you'd ask a black individual that says they're getting together for a big black cultural event, why are you getting together? I mean, it's obvious why they're getting together. They're like-minded people that come together and have a good time. Most of the people involved are already involved. They're not doing much recruiting at these meetings. The recruiting, I guess, would go on more between the concerts.
How does the recruiting go on?
Well, different groups do it differently. Organizations recruit pretty much out in the open and issue membership cards. We never have. We don't go around standing on the corner grabbing people by their lapels. Anyone who wants to associate with us has to come to us and ask to associate. We never go to them. And we are pretty particular upon who we recruit as far as that's concerned.
Do you think that there are certain parts of the country where that are more ripe for... I'd say whatever your ideology, or to hear your ideology.
Sure. The most integrated areas are the best recruiting grounds for racism. Not the areas where it's more all white or all some other color. I was just back into the Chicago area not too long ago, and a reporter asked me, well, where would I recruit out in the mid-America out there in central Illinois or Indiana or Ohio? I said, no, Chicago is the best place to recruit. Any place you have a lot of pretty much forced integration is the best place, because people know what you're talking about.
So how does the Inland Empire fit in with that? Because if we're talking about sort of southwest Riverside County, the Temecula area, it's still pretty white.
Well, it's not white enough as far as we're concerned, and it's quickly growing a non-white population. And, of course, this rapid growth, like I had a store in Temecula way back in the 60s, and it was just a little sleepy place and not expected to go anywhere. And now it's a burgeoning city with all the problems that any big city would have. And so all of the racism and problems that you perceive that were in L.A. and Orange County have been transposed right on out there. And so I don't see why anybody's shocked that you have whites rebelling in the schools, or non-whites fighting and all that kind of stuff. It's a perfect area for that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, do you say that because you feel that the races ought to live separately? I mean, is that sort of your...
Yes, that's our whole ideology. We believe in racial separation, ideally racial separation, and non-white groups that believe the same thing, we get along fine with. I I'm in touch with many black separatist people around the country and then even other races. I toured Japan. I gave lectures in Japan on this subject and about that they were they're homogenous, pretty much homogenous country. It better keep it that way, or they would go down a tube like the United States is going down the tube.
So when you said that you'd be surprised at the people who are interested in your message, what do you mean? Do you mean that they're from all different
countries? I'm talking about people that I never even meet with. I'm talking about people that are behind the scenes and their identity is kept perfectly secret. And they're simply there in their whatever their profession is to burrow in and learn things and provide information for future programs. And so the federal people can't stand the way I operate because I talk about lone wolves and cell structure and operate a lot like the insurgents do in Iraq, only we're not driving around shooting people and bombing anybody. But they knock off one little group, and so what? There's 50 groups left, and this is the way that normally a revolutionary struggle begins. It happened that way in Algeria. I just watched a movie about it years ago, and it was the only way that they could combat the growing state control of the government, police state control, is through the use of covert, secret people in good locations. And I'm talking about working class, I'm talking about education, I'm talking about the military, I'm talking about police, I'm talking about every facet of life, and that's what I've advocated for years.
Do you advocate violence?
I don't advocate violence except in self-defense. In other words, I don't believe in nonsensical violence, but any great movement or idea that's ever happened in the world has had some violence, and certainly there's been plenty of violence used against people who believe like I do. The government is the greatest violent exporter there is, as far as that's concerned. You learn a lot about violence just by watching the United States government operate.
So when these boys cut up the black kid, that in the case you were talking about, not the same one that I was talking about, but maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Yes.
You wouldn't say that was just senseless violence?
That was not good. That was senseless violence. Those white kids, if they didn't want to be at an integrated party, should not even have been there. And so that's bad. I certainly, because, number one, I don't want to see white kids going to prison for 40 years for nonsense, and that was nonsense. And I got the word to them about that after the fact that this is not the way to do it. If you're going to a party and it turns out to be an integrated non-white type party, don't go there. Stay away. Party by yourselves and do your own thing. And don't get drunk and go out on the streets and get into nonsensical violence in the street because you're going to go to jail or prison for nothing.
Do you think your association being there, do you think it has anything to do with the fact that there has been sort of a climate of, I guess for lack of a better word, maybe white supremacist or white separatist?
I don't think it's had that much to do with it. I've been in this town since 1968, and so I don't think anybody could say that it's because of my presence. However, I'm happy if there's racial activity, intelligent racial activity. If they're listening to me, I'm happy about that. And if they're listening to me, they're not going to get jammed up and put in jail.
What would you call intelligent racial activity?
Well, quietly making contacts with other like-minded people and educating other people to believe the way we do, supplying them with information, both written and on internet and so forth, to have your little group, your little cells and like that, and keep your head down and don't get into problems in the school if you don't have to. But if you are attacked, then you're going to have to use whatever method you have to use to defend yourself. I would never tell a person not to use violence to defend themselves.
And the idea is that when the time is right, when there's the right climate, then you would rise up and rebel against.
Well, I'm always working on the next generation. I got a couple of generations under my belt now. At the age of 67, I call myself the Johnny Appleseed of the racist movement. My job is to plant seeds, and I've planted a lot of them over the years. And as time goes on, there'll be much smarter, much stronger, and maybe even more ruthless people on the scene than I am. So if the government doesn't like me, they haven't seen anything yet.
I guess I'm trying to get a handle on your overall, because you said people should burrow in and educate themselves, but it's the ultimate, what's the ultimate goal?
To save the white race in North America, because we are a minority race. We've aborted 35 million probably of our young white babies, things like that, and we are a disappearing group of people. And if we do not fight for our race, we will be no longer here after a few generations. Everybody's got this idea that white race is a majority race. It never has been a majority race. We are the true minority in the world, and always have been. But now we're down to just a few percentage points of the world population, and that calls there is genocide going on here, whether it's cooperated with by white people or not. It's a form of genocide that's going on.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, some people, I think some of the law enforcement people, I could be wrong about this, but some of them might probably say that these white power concerts, for example, are sort of breeding grounds for violence because the lyrics are violent and because you advocate hate against particular groups.
Well, I don't care what the law enforcement people say, because there's more violence being illegally perpetrated by law enforcement than the skinheads or white racists could ever commit. I knew a guy, a detective, once. He said, "Tom, you know why there's so many unsolved murders?" And I say, "Why?" He said, "Because most of them, or a lot of them, are done by cops." They become political, and that's too bad. I always had a support for the police, but now all the leadership of the police departments are political, and they're being educated by our enemies, the Anti-Defamation League and the Simon Wiesenthal Center and so forth. And if they have chosen to team up with our enemies, then that makes them an enemy.
Now,
and if white kids want to get together and have a good time and play their music, I recommend that cops just stay away.
Now, let me ask you one last thing. How did you develop these ideas?
Well, I've been at it for a long time. I guess I sort of began about 1964 when the Watts riots occurred, and part of the city of L.A. was burning down, and people were driving around shooting everybody. And then they came up with the Rumford Fair Housing Bill that said you couldn't sell your house to whoever you wanted to, because if a non-white came to your house, you didn't have the money, you had to sell to them. And that, to me, was the beginning of the end for our culture in this country. Man, if you're free, you should be able to sell your house, your car, or anything else to whoever you want to sell it to. And so it was a lot of things over the years, and mostly I fought with the government and the IRS. I refused to pay taxes during the Vietnam War, and they seized my house because I didn't want to support all these guys going over there and being murdered for nothing. And so I fought with the IRS, and then they seized my house twice, and I got it back. And I've virtually fought the government for at least 30 years, actually a little more than that. And so that's why I am who I am. In fact, I have more distaste for the central government itself than I do the black race. I can deal with the black race, but I cannot deal with these criminals in Washington.
Okay, are you only against blacks, or are you against other
people? Well, it's not so much I'm against anybody. I'm for the white race, and if anybody decides that they are going to participate in activity that's detrimental to the white race, then I do hate them, and I love my friends, and I hate my enemies. If a black person is just a a black person going about his business and not participating in anti-white activity, I have no problem with that person. I would prefer that person is a proud black person that marries within their race and is proud of their children and so forth. And that's why I get along with many Pan-African groups around the country. I've been a keynote speaker at the Black Panther Convention. I've been before several black groups, and I've had contact with Louis Farrakhan's organization for years. So it's not that I'm anti-black, it's just I'm a separatist, and I don't want the white culture to be mixed and to become a polyglot culture. I want a homogeneous white nation, white European nation.
Now, when you say that if blacks are not involved in anti-white activities, what kind of anti-white activities do you see going on?
Well, blacks who promote integration are my enemy. In fact, I've got more enemies in the white race than I do in the black race. Most of the problems the white race has today, they're bringing it upon themselves. Most of those leaders in Washington are still white, and they're doing everything they can to hammer the white race. And so if people say, well, do you hate the black race more than the white race? I hate the leadership of the white race far more than I hate any black person.
One last thing. I know I said I was going to ask you a last thing before, but how much contact do you have with, how do you get your message out, and do you have a lot of contact with young people?
Well, I do, always have. I publish a newspaper that goes out to a few thousand people. I'm on the internet. I get hundreds of thousands of hits a week on my internet. I'm known all over the world, and I can pick up the mouse and talk to friends in Russia, or talk to friends in Eastern Europe, or I can talk to friends in Chile and Argentina, all over the world, and it's just like on a telephone. So I have I don't know how much power that means, but I have a lot of contacts, and my name is known everywhere.
Okay, well, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome.
All right.
And there you are with a very young, naive, sound like a white gal. Aren't some of those questions so stupid? They never asked a lot of those questions of a black person or a black leader or whatever. some of those questions were, you assume a lot of these reporters are really highly educated and intelligent. I think a lot of them, they're just plain dumb. They're just plain dumb. They got their handbook there to look up all the words they're supposed to say, like white supremacist, they got that down pat. Anyhow, part of that will be on PBS Radio in the Southern California area in the next few days, I guess. Well, and the next fellow here is from the Boston Globe, as I recall, and you'll have to bear with him. He's got a little stammer, a little stutter there, but we won't mistake him for Mel Tillis, will we?
Well, I just wanted to ask you, Tom, to put a piece, as I said, about race focused groups, and I just wanted to see. I mean, it's our sense that these groups are standing to gain membership, and I was just wondering if you're finding that as well.
Well, since we are not a membership organization, we are an association of independent people, and
okay.
And we operate primarily in a covert fashion. We don't promote large meetings and rallies and things like that. We do publish a newspaper, a quarterly newspaper. We distribute a lot of video programs. We do a lot of work on the internet.
I see.
But our primarily mode of activity is lone wolf, small cells, and covert. We don't think it is advantageous to be very public.
Okay. But do you see more, do you get more hits, on...
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We get a tremendous amount, of course, hits, but there's a much, many more young people, in fact, very young, are very interested in what we've been saying.
Okay. Is there a way to estimate the amount of interest?
There's way I can do that, because the way that we operate, in fact, we encourage many people not to even have contact with us.
Oh, really? Wow.
That you're an independent contractor, you're on your own, and you're, if you've got a good job and you're in a good position, then it's best you keep totally secret and not have any routine contact with us, like people in the military, people in police, in various areas of society.
But you think that the groups such as yours are having more appeal?
I think it has a large appeal because there's so many people out there that, I'll get maybe a phone call in the middle of the night, some person I don't even know, and like that, and then people get notes from inside some of the various agencies in the government and so forth. Just I don't even know who they are, and I don't want to know who they are. But they are supporting what we're saying, and they realize that we're way beyond normal political activity in this country, that we must prepare for the worst.
Okay, how do you prepare for the worst?
Well, of course, I've been public all my life for 30 years, so there's no way I can go underground. So, but someone has to be public to set a type of policy to furnish educational information, to act as a spokesman for what we believe and what we think should be done.
Now, when I read the policy outlines on the site, I would assume that you wrote those.
Yes.
Right, okay. I was interested. I mean, you do not call yourself a white supremacist. You call yourself a white
separatist.
Okay.
No, so the media is the one that loves that white supremacist thing. I don't think I've met any white racial person that has called themselves a white supremacist. And no matter what I say about being a white separatist, it always seems to come out white supremacist.
Okay, well, separatist.
See, we don't want to kill everybody. We just want to be separate. And we have a lot of people that are black and of other races who agree, and we get along fine with those people.
Do you condone violence?
I don't promote violence as a normal part of our activity. However, I would not shrink from violence if it came between us and people trying to destroy us. If a government thinks that they're going to wipe us out or take away our freedom of speech, well, then there may be more violence. But I think all movements that are serious in history have had a certain amount of violence, but I don't think that that we're promoting or telling people to go out and do violent things. But I don't have any use for the right wing of the racial movement, who continually get on TV and say they never would be violent.
Okay.
I think that's counterproductive.
How so?
Well, if you got an enemy and they're wanting to wipe you out, and you say, "Well, I'll never be violent." Well,
yeah.
That's of course what I'd want to hear. Fine.
do you foresee a day? I mean, if you want to establish a separate state, say, I mean, would you need to do that by?
The phase we're in now is way off from that. It's obvious that at this point there's not enough agreement among enough people to legally establish a separate state. And if we attempted to try, there's thousands of laws now on the books to force integration and going to schools and everything like that, and we would be wiped out in 5 seconds if we carved out a piece of this country. So first we have to go through the struggle to survive as a people and as our belief system, and once that is won, then we can separate any way we want to. But until that's done, it doesn't do much good to talk about where and how.
Why do you think that your message seems to be gaining growing?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with an amalgamation of racism, environmentalism, and leftist positions. And I have a lot of leftist positions that pretty much left the traditional right altogether, and we certainly are not friends of the right-wing conservatives anymore. And so, in fact, we see the right wing as being an element that's in our way to succeeding. We would like to see the conservative right wing just disappear so we could get the real struggle going. But anybody who's followed me over the last 20 years will see that so many of my positions are blatantly leftist. Including an opposition to the war, and I came out boldly here a few weeks ago and said we're not even going to support the troops because these are voluntary people. They didn't need to go over there, and the mothers and fathers that are sending them, waving the flag and sending them over there are terrible, and so we're even more anti-war than most anti-war people.
Yeah, why do you oppose the war?
Well, we believe that America has become a headquarters simply for transnational corporations and the darkest form of capitalism, that we have become an imperialist nation with no care at all about the social problems of the country and the infrastructure, as the corporations have become so powerful that they can export all our industry and our jobs and so forth to other countries, and also that I was born in 38, but anyhow, I've sat through three or four wars here that were totally ridiculous, and we found out that they were all just con games, and so I will not support any of this imperialist activity. If someone invades us like the Mexicans are from Mexico, then I think we should have those troops from Iraq on the border to make sure that our borders are safe.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But not to go around the world meddling. In fact, I've gone so far as to support the revolutionary groups in other countries that actually burn down the manufacturing plants that these people have shipped over there. And I tell people, well, if they get hurt bad enough, they'll have to come back here and hire Americans.
Okay. Yeah, well, now, that's interesting. Why do you think that it should be just a completely white state?
Well, I must admit, I feel that the white race is at the top of the chain, evolutionary and technologically and all these ways. I mean, you can simply pick up a encyclopedia of technology and so forth and start comparing, and we have furnished the technology that's hopefully helping people around the world. And so I think we've always been a minority race. We've never been a majority race. And without the white race, this world will just sink into tremendous barbarism. And so I think there's a great genius in the white race. And people say, do you think you're superior? I say, well, I hope so, but we're not acting superior right now.
And you feel that the way to preserve that is not to mix the genes, I guess, right?
Well, the way to preserve that right now is to weaken the government of the United States, which is nothing more than a front office for the transnational corporations.
Right.
In other words, as long as this government stays reasonably strong, we don't have a chance. But we say that it's a snake eating its tail, and we want it to eat its tail even more. And actually, the more they involve themselves into these imperialist nonsense, like in Iraq, the faster this country is going to weaken. And also, the tremendous amount of immigration from people all over the world with all kinds of religions and so forth, they will not be able to keep a consensus in another few decades. It will be impossible to have a consensus.
Well, next week, of course, is the 10th anniversary of the McVeigh thing.
Yeah.
What do you think about the action that he took?
Well, he attempted to send a very important message to the government of the United States.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it was it's been so respun that the public just don't understand what he was trying to say. he came back from Iraq, was totally fed up with this imperialism we're pushing around the world, and he decided that because of Waco and a lot of reasons, that he was going to send the government a message. And it's a powerful message, but unfortunately it failed because of the spin of the media put all the attention on the people that died and not on the message that was sent.
So now
they hit the 9/11, they hit the World Trade Center, allegedly the Arabs. And they sent a message too, but still the general public has not got the message.
So then you feel that he was justified in what he did because of the message?
I think he, as a soldier in a war of maybe one, that he was striking a blow against the representative of the federal government in that particular area,
uh-huh,
as a symbol.
Okay.
And so that's what revolutionaries usually do.
Okay, but do you condone the fact that some civilians were killed there?
Here's the problem we have is the government says, well, that's okay, it's called collateral damage when they do it.
Right, right.
By the thousands.
Right.
And I'm surely not happy all those people died,
right,
and those children died. So I don't take a position of yay or nay. I'm just saying that he was his general in the field, and that's what he decided to do.
Right.
Perhaps if the government would have gotten, or the people had gotten the real message, then it might save a lot more lives than that were lost there. But since they don't get the message, there's obviously going to be far more of that type of thing in the future.
Okay. What do you think when people call groups like yours hate groups?
Well, because that's just a habit that the media and the politicians and everybody have gotten into. I mean,
right.
I mean, there's plenty of groups that hate me, and they, so I guess you're okay if you hate some people, but you're not okay if you hate other people. Hate comes in several layers. Hate to me means extreme dislike. That's what it says in the dictionary. And so there is the hatred that says, I just don't like you and I don't want to be around you. And then there's a hatred that's, don't come near me, I'm going to punch you in the nose. And then there's the hatred that says, hey, I'm going to kill you. So there's different levels of hatred.
Okay.
And it's too simplistic. The word is very too simplistic.
It is, yeah. But do you know my being called all the racist groups out?
Well, if you said you know, I'm proud to be a racist.
Yeah, right.
One who believes in the best interests of his race.
Yep.
And that's all it means to me is I'm going to do everything I can for my family and my race. And
got it. All right.
I never deny being a racist like most of the right wing do.
Sure. Well, Tom, I'm wondering, I'm in a bit ahead of a time crunch here, but this has been really good. Thanks for the call.
Sure.
Back.
Well, there you go. That was a short interview with the Boston Globe, I guess. I guess that was a real person with a little speech impediment, but that's the way it goes. We don't discriminate against good old white people that are doing their job and so forth, okay? Now, you got to decide, boys and girls, are you with the me? Are you with me and what we're doing? Are you with the feather merchants of the right wing? Are you going to spend a few bucks and send it over to old Terrible Tommy and support what we're doing? Or are you going to take your money and get on an airplane, go all the way down to, say, New Orleans and listen to the feather merchants of the right wing? They'll all couch their speeches and they'll declare up and down, we'd never be violent, we could never do anything violent, and we got to do this by the democratic process, which is total bullshit, you know, and I know. So if you don't believe or you don't agree with much of what I say, then to hell with it. Don't give me a dime. But if you understand what I'm saying, and I'm not pulling any punches, and I'm out on the front line, so you don't see me backing down. You know, it's a little bit dangerous sometimes to say some of the things I say. I think the time may come when they're going to drag me out of here, and I'm all ready for it if it happens. But until they do, I'm going to say it the way I see it and not give you a bunch of feather merchant crap like you're going to get at these togethers where all they do is even some screaming, white power, white power, white power, give me another beer, or they're down there wearing their Brooks Brothers suits and, you know, stroking each other. So anyhow, I'm almost out of here. This is Rural Radio, P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. Metzger at AOL.com is the email address, and of course the phone line is 760-723-8996. Dig into your pocket and put some money down here in the bunker. It's time.